Last week we entered the Advent season, and last week was the first Sunday of Advent, and our focus was on hope. And Pastor Jeff gave us a powerful reminder of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And he asked us to reflect that we don't have to look at our perceived goodness. We don't have to rely on our ability or our performance, but we rely on God's mercy and his faithfulness. And as we are anchored in hope, it's not in ourselves, but is in the hope, Jesus Christ. And we said that we live between two Advents. And if you are not used to celebrating Advent, the word Advent comes from a Latin word called Adventus. And it simply means the coming or arrival. So the first coming of Christ, the arrival, is what we celebrate here at Christmas, where Christ came to save us and redeem us. And then we look forward to his second coming, when he will return to make all things new, right, and complete. That is Advent season. And today, on this second Sunday of Advent, our focus is on peace. See, peace is something the world talks a lot about, but seems to experience very little of it. We often say things like, I wish I could have peace of mind, or I wish I could just have some peace and quiet. Or maybe during Thanksgiving, if the conversation got heated around the table, somebody said, hey, can we just keep the peace? See, this time of year, Christmas time, the theme of peace is everywhere. Peace on our Christmas cards, peace in the music, peace in the nativity scene. And yet, in many homes, including Christian homes, there is conflict, anxiety, hurry, financial pressures, strained marriages, broken families, and just a heavy spiritual restlessness. See, peace is something that we all want, but so often seems so elusive. So this morning, this at Christmas time, the peace that I want to talk about is the peace that Christ gives. And this morning, I want to take a look at that word peace, because we often hear about the word peace, and you know what comes to mind when we hear the word peace? The English definition may be something like the absence of conflict, where there's no fighting, no tension, no problems. But the biblical definition of peace is something far richer and far deeper. And the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, shalom. And it doesn't simply mean the absence of conflict. It's also the presence of something greater. It speaks of wholeness, or this completeness, or this fullness, where everything is being as it should be. And it touches every part of our lives, our relationships, our inner self, our circumstances, but especially centers on our relationship with God. See, biblical peace is where we experience this deep sense that it is God who is making us whole. And this is not a fragile peace. This is not dependent on our circumstances or everything going right. It is a peace, a God-given wholeness that remains even when life seems uncertain and chaotic. And that is the peace we're talking about today, the peace that God brings, and the peace that Jesus came here on earth. So here at Christmas, here is the good news. The peace that so many of us are looking for, the peace that the world is longing for, that peace came to us on that first Christmas night. The birth of Jesus ushered in a new era of peace. And Jesus didn't just talk about peace. He didn't just speak promises of peace. He was peace in the flesh. And it is in Jesus that this peace, this shalom, is made available to every single one of us. So let's look at one of our favorite verses at Christmas time, and it was even sort of a theme in one of the songs we sang this morning. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5 says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace," or Prince of Shalom. See, Isaiah wrote this 700 years before Jesus was born. Israel was surrounded by conflict, war, uncertainty, political darkness. Does any of that sound familiar? And yet, into that darkness, God gave a promise. He said, peace is coming, and is coming in a person. So, the political party that you support may win by a landslide in the next election, but that will not bring you peace. Peace is not in a political system. Peace is not in an economic system, and peace is not in a self-help program. The Bible says a child who would be the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the only means by which the peace with God comes. And if we're looking for it in any other way, we will never find it. And let's see what scripture says that sort of emphasizes this. In Romans chapter 1, it says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to notice something about that very first verse. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith. So Paul is speaking directly to believers. Paul is speaking to those who have already put their faith in Christ. And I'm trying to make something absolutely clear this morning because I believe it's the foundation of biblical truth. There is no peace in life without peace with God. And there is no peace with God apart from putting our trust and faith in Jesus Christ and making him the Lord over our lives. See, one of the enemy's greatest deceptions is making us think that we can have this peace in anyone or anything or anywhere other than Jesus. But it doesn't take long to look around at the world's version of peace to see that it ain't working, right? We hear story after story of celebrities who seemingly had everything, fame, wealth, influence, but yet were deeply unhappy, oftentimes falling into just various forms of addiction. There's no amount of money, power, or experience that can fill the void that peace of God, that the peace of God doesn't bring, but not having the peace with God. But we don't have to look at celebrities who have been on one of those VH1 Behind the Music specials to miss out on this peace. See, we can come to church and sit in the same chair every Sunday for 10 years and not experience this peace. If we do not surrender our life to the Lord, if we do not make him the Lord over our lives, we won't experience that peace. But what do I mean by surrender? Do I mean that we never sin again or we're perfect in every way? No. Surrendering our lives to the Lord doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. It just means that we live a life where he gets to tell us what's good and bad, not ourselves. See, Israel was God's chosen people to represent him to the world. And now those in Christ, we are his chosen people to represent God to the world. And Israel got off track when they began to chase after other gods and other idols. And we as Christians at times can get off track when we begin to search for idols and get off track. But this peace with God, it's not a fragile peace. And Jesus speaks, he doesn't only give us the peace with God, he also gives us the peace of God. And there's the peace of God, and then there is the circumstantial peace. There's peace that's dependent on our circumstances. Everything is good until the next bill comes in, or the next time the car breaks down, or the next medical diagnosis, the next crisis, the next tragedy on the news. That kind of peace is circumstantial and truly no peace at all. And I know a lot about this circumstantial peace, and I've shared this story from this stage once, but I think it's appropriate to share. In 2016, I was not living for the Lord. And I had everything that I thought the world said would bring me peace and happiness. I had just gotten married. We moved to a nice house in Fiana Hills next to a golf course. I had taken a position at our company that where I was making more money than I'd ever made. I had a brand new pickup truck in the driveway. I had great friends, and I had a family that loved me. I had the so-called American dream. And yet by the end of 16, I was as broken and unhappy as I'd ever been. You see, 2 weeks after we moved to Fort Smith, my stepdad was diagnosed with cancer. And I just felt guilty that I couldn't be there with my mom to help take care of him. And that summer, my biological dad, who I'd reconnected with after 20 years, had congestive heart failure, and his health was declining. And my new wife, who I had moved away from her family and friends, she was deeply homesick. And I remember one time I came home, it didn't help because I worked out of town every single week. She said, "Jeff, you are never here." I had a friend whose wife was killed in a car wreck. I had a mentor who was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. That's, all these things just began to pile on me. I began to feel like a failure. I was failing as a son. I was failing as a husband. I was failing as a friend, an employee. And I just remember thinking this thought clearly. It still sticks with me today. It's like, how can I be this miserable when I have everything the world says would give me peace? I just remember that. Because truly, the reason it was because I didn't have the peace of God. And there was a moment in the hotel room in Oklahoma where I got down on my knees and I just committed my life to the Lord again. See, I had been baptized as a young kid and I had spent some time in and out of church, but I never really fully committed my life to the Lord. Sorry. But let's look and see what Paul talks about when he talks about peace with God. Because see, there's this, like I said, this circumstantial peace that depends on things are going well. And then there's this peace of God. And Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, in this passage here, Paul gives us a clear pathway to experiencing the peace with God. And it begins with, drum roll please, prayer. It begins with prayer. Now, if you're anything like me, prayer has been both a place of growth and in a place of struggle. It's been, at times, it's just felt so natural, and at times just seemed very difficult. Yet God keeps opening my mind to what prayer truly is. Prayer is just the moment when we slow down, we take a moment, and we just bring our request to God, the worries that are weighing on our hearts. And the thing about it is, it's not just about the things that we're praying. When we come before the Lord, it's this sign of, it's this act of humility. It's an act of humility where we're saying, "Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your help." And when we stop praying or we don't pray, what we're saying is, "God, I don't need you. God, I can handle this on my own." We begin to operate as out of a posture of pride. And anytime we begin to operate out of a posture of pride, that is a very dangerous place. We begin to say, "God, I don't need you. Your help is optional. I've got this." And I remember as I began to write this sermon, write this message, God reminded me of a prayer that I had stopped praying. You see, I have a little two-year-old. There she is. Yes. Pastor Jeff, he said, you know, never miss an opportunity to put, you know, a kid or your grandkid now up there. So that is Emlyn, and she turned 2 in October. And I turned 50 in November. And about a year and a half ago, I gave the Father's Day message in June in 24. And it was my first Father's Day. It was my first giving the Father's Day message. And about 3 weeks after that, we dedicated Emlyn to the Lord. And it was just during this time that I began to pray a prayer, and I remember it. And I prayed, and I said, "Lord, I want to be here for my little girl. I know life is unpredictable. I could get hit by a bus tomorrow, but help me take care of this body. Help me make better choices with my health." I remember praying that prayer. And I remember beginning to pray that prayer every single day. And little by little, I began to eat a little healthier. I began to exercise regularly. I began to just do things that I had never done before as far as taking care of my health. And over about 8 months, I lost 45 pounds. I believe in a healthy, proper way. But guess what? Somewhere along the way, and I truly don't remember when, I stopped praying that prayer. Not because I didn't care, not because I had achieved my goal, not because I all of a sudden thought I could do it by myself, but I slowly slipped back into this attitude of operating out of my own strength. And guess what happened? The healthy choices stopped, started driving through, going through drive-through a little bit more often, skipping the gym a few more days, and not paying attention. And then I started to gain back 20 pounds. And I just remember feeling this guilt and shame and anything but peace and go, how can I do this again? But the Lord reminded me today that he is as faithful today as the day I started praying that prayer. And so this past week, I began to pray that prayer again. But the reason I say that is because let me ask you a question. Is there anything that you have stopped praying for? Is there a victory that maybe God has given you that you've quit bringing it to him with thanksgiving, or you've just quit asking him to give you strength? Or is there anything that's been so difficult or so hard on your heart or felt like taking so long for God to answer that you've simply stopped asking? I believe this morning that God is asking us, he's inviting us, if there's something we have set down quietly, he's asking us to pick it back up and bring it to him again. And I know that that's true in my life, and I know it could be true in many here. Or maybe there's something that you're struggling with that you've never truly brought it to the Lord. Maybe you've prayed about it once or twice or a few times, but it's just this constant, consistent, daily prayer. We prayed the Lord's Prayer, and it says, give us this day our daily bread. See, God wants us to bring our requests to him on a daily basis. His strength, we depend on his strength on a daily basis, not the prayer that we prayed last year, not the prayer that we prayed 6 months ago, but today. Because we are forgetful people, and at times we forget where our source, where the source of our strength comes from. And it comes from the Lord. But as we look on, it says, as we read on through that verse, it says that this peace comes with thanksgiving. See, gratitude, being thankful, has a way of aligning our hearts with God. And have you ever done something nice for someone, or it could be a big or small gesture, and they were just so thankful, and they were so sincerely, you know, grateful? Doesn't it warm your heart whenever, like, you didn't do it to earn that, for them to give you that response, but it felt good. Well, maybe whenever we give God things, do you think it warms his heart? Do you think it shows love to him? I think it does. But on the reverse side, have you ever done something for someone, big or small, and they just didn't care? They didn't say thank you. They acted like it didn't even matter. Didn't you feel hurt? Maybe a little bitter? I don't think God gets bitter, but I do believe that he gets hurt. Do we think that we can hurt God's feelings when we're not thankful for the things that he's given us? You know, Pastor Jeff gave us a message right before Thanksgiving to look at the things that week that are good and not focus on the things that are broken. It doesn't mean we bury our heads in the sand. It doesn't mean that we don't feel the pain. It just means we focus on the things that God has given us, not the brokenness of the world. And if we have any trouble, you know, at times being very negative, I think this is a prayer that we can pray daily. And it says, Lord, help me focus on your goodness rather than just seeing the world's brokenness. And maybe that's a prayer that he's asking us to pray this morning. As we look through on this scripture, we have Paul makes a powerful promise. He says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and mind. See, this is the kind of peace that we can't explain, that we may not be able to even describe, but we feel this completeness or this wholeness through circumstances that may be chaotic. And this is the piece that doesn't make sense, but God, he gives us not a natural peace, but a supernatural peace. And as we go through this verse, it says what? That he will guard our hearts, our minds and hearts. And so this word guard is a Greek word, and it's this image of a soldier standing watch over something precious. See, God himself guards our heart. God himself guards our mind. His peace is stronger than our worries, and his presence is stronger than our fears, and his faithfulness will carry us even in the places when we feel weak. But as we read this verse, there's a premise to the promise, right? There's a promise that God has given us. God is promising us what? He promises the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace that every one of us longs for, especially in those toughest moments of life. But it also says, it comes with a premise. It says the pathway to experiencing peace is by bringing our prayers and our petitions to God with thanksgiving. See, it's this posture of coming to God in honesty, in humility, and gratitude where he begins to change our heart and his peace meets us. This journey we're on as followers of Jesus, this is a relational journey, you know, and if we never give God thanks or gratitude, it just begins to change us. And people sometimes say, well, God knows my prayers. God knows what I need. Well, if you have a loved one, a wife, a husband, a child, and you never tell them you love them or you never show them you love them, is it okay if they just know? I think that God is asking us to slow down, right? In this busy world that we live in, to slow down and bring him these petitions and prayers. And the promise is if we will do that, he will give us his peace. We can lay down our head at night knowing that God is guarding and protecting our minds. When the angels appeared to the shepherds on that first Christmas night, they declared a message that has echoed through history. It says this in Luke. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." The angels were not describing the condition of the world. They were declaring that the world now has a savior, the one who brings true peace. And peace is not a feeling, it is a person. Peace came wrapped in swaddling clothes. Peace laid in a manger. Peace walked among us. Peace died on the cross and peace rose again. And peace is coming back. Christ is our peace. If you don't know him today, receive him. If anxiety is overwhelming you, just rest in him. If your soul is weary, draw near him to him today. And if your heart is hurting, find healing in him today. The angels have announced it. Scripture declares it, and our hearts are longing for it. The Prince of Peace has come, and the Prince of Peace in Christ is coming again. Amen. Let me pray. Dear Lord, Lord, we thank you for this peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. And we know that so much of the world is trying to distract us and keep us busy and anything to keep us from slowing down and just spending time with you. And that's what prayer is, Lord. It's not just about bringing our request or treating you as a vending machine to get what we want, Lord. It's spending time with you. And so this week, I just pray, Lord, you just give us your strength, your Holy Spirit, to encourage us to slow down. Lord, if there is something that's causing us to not have peace, whether it's big or small, Lord, it doesn't matter to you. You want to hear them. It could be that I'm struggling to have friends at school, or I've got a test this week, or I have finals, or I have a new baby that I'm trying to raise, or maybe I'm in retirement and, you know, I'm looking at the economy and I'm worried, Lord, whatever may be causing us not to have peace, Lord, I pray that we just focus our eyes on you, that we bring it to you, and that we don't live under a circumstantial peace, but the peace of God. Lord, so this morning, if there's anyone that needs to bring those prayers to you, I just encourage them today to spend some time, Lord. You are faithful and merciful and love us, and you will give us your peace. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.